Last Sunday morning, I preached on a short prayer that was offered by a dying man facing his last few moments on earth. He simply turned to Christ and he prayed, "Lord, remember me." This evening, I want to follow on with the same theme and preach to you on another short prayer that we find here in verse 30. It is the short prayer offered by Simon Peter out on the Sea of Galilee when he turned to Christ and he simply said, "Lord, save me." So last week a man prayed, "Lord, remember me." Tonight we want to give attention to the man who said, "Lord, save me." In the world of communications, Mayday, the French word for "help me," is recognized as the international distress call, one that is immediately answered by ship or aircraft of any nationality which might be in the immediate area. We have two examples of this in Matthew's Gospel. On the first occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep in the little fishing vessel owned by one of his disciples. They crossed the Sea of Galilee. Suddenly, according to Matthew's account, a great storm arose, and the terrified disciples urgently awakened the Lord out of his sleep with the cry, "Lord, save us. Mayday, mayday, mayday." And you can read about that in Matthew chapter 8. On the second occasion, again on the Sea of Galilee, the Lord Jesus Christ came walking to his disciples on the water. Now, in response to Peter's plea, "Bid me come unto thee on the water," verse 28, the Lord invited Peter to come to him. What an amazing sight it must have been out there in the dark, out there in the midst of the Sea of Galilee. Excitedly, Peter ventured forth to go to his master walking on the sea. Quickly he climbed out over the side of the boat, fixed his eyes on the Saviour, and began to walk. Now we might be critical of Peter from time to time, and maybe we're justified in criticising him at times. But who here tonight would have stepped out of the boat to walk on the water, to go to Jesus, especially in the dark? But Peter did. And we must commend him for taking that brave and bold step of faith. So he quickly climbed over the edge or the side of the boat, fixed his eyes on Christ, and began to walk. He was really walking on water. However, it didn't last very long, for it says, when he saw the waves, he was afraid. He felt that he was in danger, and therefore he cried out in great despair, "Lord, save me. Mayday, mayday, mayday." And it is to these memorable words uttered by Peter on the Sea of Galilee that I want to draw your attention to this evening. Of course, I must lift these words out of their proper setting and out of their proper context. And I want to use them as the cry of a needy soul seeking God's grace and seeking God's salvation. When taken this way, they constitute a spiritual mayday, an urgent call to the Lord for mercy and for grace and for his salvation. May you make these memorable words yours tonight, if as yet at this point you still know not Christ as your Saviour. Now, these words were uttered first of all by what I've decided to call a sinking man. For the Word of God tells us in verse 30, Peter was about to sink into the depths of Galilee. So humanly speaking, he was in danger of perishing in a watery grave. Do you see that? And the Bible tells us in verse 24 that the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Now the Sea of Galilee is about 13 miles long, and it is round about 7 or 7.5 miles wide. And the Bible says that he was in the midst of the sea, a considerable distance out from shore and safety. And the Bible also says that it was in the fourth watch of the night. Verse 25 makes that clear. The fourth watch of the night was the darkest hour before the dawn. Before Joseph were under the palace to sit upon the throne next to the king, Joseph had to go to prison to be tested and tried. And sometimes before we can get to the palace in our spiritual experience, the Lord takes us to the palace via the prison house, the place of persecution or the place of darkness. So what I'm saying is this: Peter was a sinking man. He was a long way from the shore, sinking in the dark, and he still hadn't reached the Lord Jesus Christ. Every moment counted if he was going to be saved, and every moment is precious for the unconverted sinner. I can remember a man in Omagh, in County Tyrone, a short distance from where I pastored in Six Mile Cross, was walking home one night, and he was intoxicated. A very good friend of mine spoke with him and invited him to trust in Christ. He procrastinated, he put it off. And the very next night, as he was walking along the same road, in the same circumstances, intoxicated, and suddenly a car came along and knocked him over. And that man was suddenly ushered out into God's eternity. Every moment is precious. Every moment is valuable. And we're all saved here tonight. Thank God for that. But there are others out there, people that we work with, family, friends and neighbours. We should get earnest about their souls and do everything in our power to evangelise, to reach out, to compel them to come to Christ, and to seek to warn them from the danger of dying and going down into a lost sinner's hell. Every moment counted if this man was going to be saved. Peter could well have penned the words, "I was sinking, deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed by guilt within. Mercy I did implore." And the human race has been sinking at an alarming rate ever since the fall of man. The sinner is just like Peter, out in the sea of life, a long way from the heavenly shore, still in the dark, spiritually speaking, and out of Christ. There was an occasion when the psalmist in Psalm 69 penned these words. He was in distress, but he came before the Lord, and maybe on bowed knee he cried, "Save me, O God." Now why did he offer that prayer? The context helps us to give the answer. He said, "I sink in deep mire where there is no standing." He felt like a man sinking in the mud, which already reached the level of his neck. He was about to suffocate. He was about to go under. And he also declared, "There is no standing." He was a man who was sinking in the mire, and his foot had not reached a solid base. And surely that's a figure and type of many today. They're up to their very neck in a sense, in sin, and the depravity and the mire of sin. They're sinking deeper and deeper as the moments go by. And there is no standing for them. They have no standing because they're not in Christ. We have here a picture of the psalmist, and he's sinking in the deep mire where there is no standing. He's on his way down. He's sinking in the mire of sin, and he cries out, "Save me, O God!" He was not on the rock. Christ, of course, in the spiritual context, is our rock. And we have no standing in the sight of God apart from Jesus Christ, our only hope, our rock of salvation. And he said, "I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." He sees himself being swept away. The psalmist was powerless to help himself. He pictures himself drowning in a sea of trouble like a ship without an anchor. The Apostle Paul frequently impressed divine truth upon the minds and hearts of his hearers or readers with various illustrations from his own experience. There was a time when he was shipwrecked at Melita, and the sailors cast four anchors to help the ship ride out the storm during the night. And the lesson of the anchor was not lost on Paul, for in Hebrews chapter 6 he speaks of the anchor of the soul. And that is a wonderful, vivid picture of the believer's security in Christ. The anchor teaches us that our hope is in something other than in ourselves. Our hope is in Christ, the anchor of our soul. Only foolish sailor would cast the anchor overboard without having a chain attached. That would be a foolish thing to do. The mariner on board the ship is not yet on land, but his anchor is already gripping the solid ground beneath the ship. And the point Paul, I feel, is making is this: that the Christian is not yet in heaven, but the anchor is within the veil, drawing us irresistibly towards the golden shore. And that anchor is Christ. And that anchor is cast within the veil. Our head is in heaven. Christ is the head of the church. We are his body. The body will not be on earth, and the head in heaven. It's the will of God for him to bring his body and the head together in glory. And today we have this blessed hope that the anchor is cast within the veil, and it is drawing us irresistibly to that golden shore. And if you have no anchor for your soul tonight, you're just like the people in Noah's day, who, when the flood came, they were all swept away. They were all lost. So we have before us the picture of a sinking man. But then there's also the picture of a sensible man. Peter, in that moment of crisis, cried out, "Lord, save me." Peter realized what was happening. He realized the gravity of the situation. It was an awful moment for him when he realized he was going to drown. He was a seasoned fisherman. He'd been out in the Sea of Galilee on numerous occasions, but on this occasion, he suddenly realized that he was going to drown. And it's an awful moment when a man realizes, or a woman realizes, that he or she is going to be lost. Many years ago, there was a young man, and he moved away from his home, from the influence of a godly mother. He wanted to pursue his sinful life and lifestyle, and he got involved in the deep things of the world. And then he discovered that he had a problem with his liver due to the drink, and he returned home to die. His mother was concerned about the young man's soul and often tried to speak with him. And as it came to near the end of his life, this time upon earth, he turned to his mother on one occasion when she was trying to witness to him, and he said, "Don't speak to me of Christ. Bring me a glass of brandy." And the mother said, "Listen, son, don't you see the damage the brandy has done?" And he said, Oh mother, bring me a glass of brandy, or I will curse you with my last breath." And a short time after that, when he made that foolish statement, he began to shake upon the bed, and he began to cry, Oh my God, I am lost." And the mother wept as she stood by the bedside, as her son crossed over the great dividing line and to God's eternity. It was a frightening moment for his mother. It was a frightening moment for him when he realized that he was going to die, and that he was going to be in hell for all of God's great eternity. "My God, I am lost." Now, Peter didn't want to drown, naturally enough. He wanted to live. It says, beginning to sink. And that suggests to me that he had time to cry to the Lord for help. And in that particular moment, he urgently looked to Christ alone to save him. He had enough sense to do so. It was a life and death situation, and there was no time to waste. One thing mattered as far as Peter was concerned. And that one thing that was in his mind was how to be saved. And he cried, "Lord, save me." And in that moment, out in the darkness, sinking in the Sea of Galilee, by faith, he turned to Christ and he just simply said, "Lord, save me." It was the sensible thing to do. For he perceived that the Lord was near. He perceived that the Lord was willing and able to save him. Remember Jeremiah when he was cast into the dungeon. And once again, the Bible says he was up to the armpits in the filth in that unhealthy environment. And so many are in that unhealthy environment today through alcohol and dope. I read the other day about a man murdered some man that he became acquainted with and then decided to eat him. It's hard to take in. But that is the depravity of this sinful world in which we live. The Roman Catholic Church has been to court on numerous occasions And the priests in that system have been brought to the courts, and they have been charged, and they have on numerous occasions abused children in their care. This is a filthy world in which we live. Think of all the filth and the corruption of this world. And here's a man, Jeremiah. He's sinking down in the dungeon. He's up to the armpits and all the filth. And he can't do anything for himself. And then there's a man introduced into the story, a man called Ebed-Melech. And that name simply means the servant of the king. And the servant of the king went into the presence of the king, and he interceded for Jeremiah. He lifted him out of the pit. He brought him to solid ground. Cannot we see Christ here? The servant of the king coming to the aid of those who cannot help themselves. Just the way Christ came to the aid of Peter out in the Sea of Galilee. The servant of the king, Christ is here. Christ is the master of every situation. The fishing boat out in the Sea of Galilee in chapter 5 of Luke's Gospel began to sink. Why did it begin to sink? Because it was carrying too much cargo. Too many fish on board. It was weighed down. What is weighing you down? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Remember the story of David and Goliath. David took one of the stones from the brook. He put it into a sling and he aimed. And it hit Goliath in his forehead. And Goliath began to fall, and he did fall. It was a small stone that brought down mighty Goliath. Thy sin may be considered to be little in the eyes of many. But that little thing, that sin, will bring you down to condemnation. And here's a man, and he's out in the Sea of Galilee, and he's sinking in the cold, dark waters of the sea. And in that moment, he realizes that Jesus Christ was nearby, and he had power to save him. Hence he cried, Lord, save me. Remember the story of Noah? The Lord revealed in his providence to him that he was going to destroy the world. And he gave good advice to Noah. He told him to build an ark. And he told him to pitch it without and within. And that word for pitch is an interesting word, but can be translated atonement. And the Lord was showing to Noah Christ and his atoning work in the Old Testament. And he was pointing Noah and his family to Christ as the only hope for salvation. Judgment was coming. The wrath of God would fall. Christ was there in picture form. And Noah had the responsibility of entering into the ark, entering into the place of safety. And when he did so, as he looked around, he could see the pitch on the inside. And thank God he was assured, I'm safe in the ark. And when God looked down from heaven, he saw the pitch on the outside. And thank God that pitch spoke of the atoning blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Noah was saved because God looked upon the pitch that speaks of atonement. And Noah was assured because he looked upon the pitch within, and he believed that he was safe in the arms of God. And so he had to look to Christ by faith, as Peter did. That was the great text that Spurgeon did say through, look unto me all ye ends of the earth and be ye saved, for I am God. And Spurgeon looked that snowy morning, and thank God he looked and lived and was saved. But we need to continue to look, or we need to continue to keep our eyes on him and his finished work for our peace and for our assurance as we go through life. It's an ongoing thing. We look once by faith and it's settled once and for all. But for our assurance and comfort as we go through life, because we're human, and we are surrounded by many fears and doubts. Doubts within, fears without. But thank God, when we train our eyes upon the atoning work of Christ, it will be well with us. And it will work for our peace and our assurance. Noah heard the come of God. God said, come and enter in. And Peter also heard the come or the call of Christ in the Sea of Galilee, because Jesus said, come to me. And I love that word. It's found in the Bible over 600 times. That's the message of the Bible. Come, for all things are now ready. And it was the Lord's will to save Peter when he came. Now, Peter had made some effort to get to Christ. Don't you see this? He had stepped out of the ship. He tried to walk as he'd never walked before. And it almost ended in disaster. He needed divine help. You see, you can't walk like a Christian until grace intervenes. He tried to do this in his own strength, and it almost ended in disaster. It was only when grace intervened that he was saved. And that's a wonderful thing, to be saved by the grace of God. Now, Peter looked to the Lord. He didn't multiply words. He just cried, "Lord, save me." He addressed the right person. He looked for deliverance and salvation. And it was a personal cry. He says, "Lord, save me." So he was a sinking man. That's applicable to sinners. He's a sensible man because he realized he was sinking. And he began to cry to Christ. And then finally he became a saved man. The word of God tells me in verse 31, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." That personal cry for help was immediately answered by a loving, gracious Saviour. And the Lord did not let Peter reap the fruit of his unbelief and let him sink in the deep. But the Lord stretched out his mighty hand and thankfully lifted him out of his distress. Many years ago, when the Pope came to England for one of these great world tours and trips, the Free Presbyterian Church in Ulster organised the protest. I went to Ballyhooston Park in Glasgow, and the Pope arrived in his helicopter to get into his Popemobile to drive around Ballyhooston Park. And the tens of thousands of Gardiner Catholics gathered around, and they began to sing, "In his hands, he's got the whole world. He's got the whole world in his hands." Nonsense. Here we see Peter, and he's in the hands of Christ. He's in the hands of the Saviour. Working hands. He healed the sick. Wounded hands, he died for sinners. And thank God, willing hands to receive all who come and trust in him for salvation. And the Bible says that Jesus reached out and caught him. And that word simply means that he took hold upon him. It's the same word that is used in Acts chapter 16 and verse 19. When Paul was arrested at Philippi, it says they caught hold of him. They apprehended him. They took hold of him. And that's exactly what the Lord did with me away back many years ago. The Lord apprehended me. He took hold of me. He put his hand upon me, and I've never been the same since. And you can remember the time when he laid hold upon you. Remember the sleepless nights. Remember how you fear to go to bed at night and sleep, lest you would waken up in the lost eternity. How God wrought in your heart, he laid hold upon you. Just in the same way he reached out and he laid hold upon Simon Peter as he was sinking. And he lifted him up. The surging waves gave up their victim. Now he was safe in the arms of Jesus. The Lord took him by the hand. And now we can see Peter resumes his walk of faith, hand in hand with Christ, walking by his side, step by step, on the very thing that caused him to fear. And that's the way we walk through life, hand in hand with him, side by side with Christ, overcoming the very things that cause us to fear. And the Bible says in verse 32 that they came into the ship. What does the ship suggest to you? To me it suggests a place of safety. And the Lord brought them to a place of safety. And the psalmist was able to say, "Thou art with me, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And when the Lord apprehended the sinner who was sinking out there on the Sea of Galilee, he sank no further. But thank God he began to walk a walk of faith. What a wonderful picture. What a wonderful Saviour Jesus Christ is. The Titanic was built in 1912 in Belfast Shipyard. Set sail from Southampton on its maiden voyage. We know the story of how it hit the iceberg and began to sink. Many, many lives were lost. There was a man on board that vessel who was called George Harper. He was a believer, and he was sinking in the cold, chilly waters. He saw another man nearby who was in great distress, and George Harper shouted out to him in his dying moments, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That man was able to catch on to something, I'm not sure what it was, but he got to safety. He became a believer. Unfortunately, George Harper went down, and he died with so many others in that fateful night so long ago. But his last message brought forth results. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What a testimony. Even facing death, he wanted to extend the kingdom of God. And in the providence of God, that man who was sinking, going down to a lost eternity, was saved through the message of the word of God. And when the Bible says, when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. When he enters a life, that is when Christ enters a life, he makes the storm a calm. When he entered Simon's home, he healed his mother-in-law. And when Christ comes into a life, he brings calm and peace. And the Bible says it all happened at the fourth watch. The fourth watch of the night was the one before the dawn. A new day is at hand. It's always a new day when Christ enters the scene. It's always a new day when Christ saves the soul. A new beginning. It's always a new day when Christ comes in. And the Bible says in verse 33, they worshipped him. Saved men and saved women will worship him. So here we have the story of a sinking man. The story of a sensible man. And thank God, a story of a saved man. Saved man cried, "Lord, save me." And if you cry that prayer tonight, offer that prayer in faith, thank God tonight you can become a saved man, or a saved boy, a saved girl, or a saved woman. Peter owed his life to the Lord. Jesus spoke to him in chapter 21 of John's Gospel. And he told Peter how he would die. He foretold that he would be crucified upside down on a cross. That did not deter Peter. The Lord had saved him on many occasions from himself. Peter wrote two epistles, 1 and 2 Peter. His life was dedicated to God. A saved life will be dedicated to God. And a saved life will be influential for God. Just the way Peter's letters are influential to this day. His letters leave a mark for truth. And when a life is saved by grace, that life will be an influence for good and for God. Simply because this man did the right thing at the right time. He prayed, "Lord, save me." May you pray that tonight from your heart. And I believe that the Lord will give to you the assurance that it is well with your soul. So we have thought about two short prayers to date. Lord, remember me. What the dying thief deserved. He deserved to die for his crimes. What he did, he began to pray. What he discovered, Jesus saves. And this other man who prayed, "Lord, save me," he was sinking. But thank God he was sensible. And thank God he was saved. May the Lord bless you tonight through the preaching of the word for his name's sake. Amen.